grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's gospel lesson is sort of a travelogue of incidents taking place as Jesus made his way to Jerusalem. The first occurred as he was passing through Samaria. Now, Jews and Samaritans did not get along. That's because the Samaritans only accepted the first five books of the Bible, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They rejected the Psalms and the prophets. And they also had their own temple. They didn't go to the temple in Jerusalem. They went to the one, they built their own on Mount Gerizim. So when they found out Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem to die as a sacrifice, they wanted nothing to do with him. And the apostles were furious over that snub. They wanted to call down fire from heaven to destroy them. But Jesus rebuked them rather than the Samaritans. You know, when Jesus is rejected, he just moves on to another place and preaches the gospel there. So on the way, a man came to Jesus and said, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." Obviously, a much better response than the Samaritans gave. Or was it? Now, as we read our English Bibles, it sounds like a fine statement. We should follow Jesus wherever he goes. But in the original language, it comes off differently. The man is using a future tense, and he's using it conditionally. It shows up in Greek, not in English. What he's essentially doing is giving Jesus the brush off. He's saying, "I'll follow you later. Maybe." Well, wherever you're going, but where are you going? I may not want to go there. That's what it's saying. Now, you might think more people should say, "I want to follow Jesus." But in the Gospels, not one single person who ever volunteered to follow Jesus ever did. You cannot become a Christian on your own volition. You have to be called by the Holy Spirit. In the Gospels, only those that Jesus called ended up as disciples. And yet, even then, not everybody he called followed him, as we see from the next man. Jesus goes to him with a direct order, short, simple, and to the point. He says, "Follow me." Now, in the original language, he's using what's called an imperative verb. He's not saying, "Would you like to follow me? How about it?" He's, "You will follow me." That's the direct order, not a request. But that fellow also wanted to put off the Lord. He used his own imperative verb. He said, "Lord, you must let me first go and bury my father." Sounds reasonable, right? But it wasn't. You see, in those days, the dead were buried immediately. This man's father was still alive. The man was stalling. He was too busy for Jesus at this point in his life. Sound familiar? "I'll get to church. I'll follow Jesus, but not just yet. I got too much going on in my life. Maybe when things settle down, maybe when I retire, then I'll have the time." Now, they don't despise Jesus. I'm not saying they despise Jesus, but they're doing something dangerous. They're putting off to another day what they should be doing now. Putting your faith on the back burner today could just mean that's where it will remain. Neglecting the word and the sacraments today can also lead to rejecting it altogether later on, as we see in our Lord's answer to this man. The answer seems harsh. He says, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." Now, what does Jesus mean by that? Well, our Lord is speaking of the spiritually dead. Even Paul talks about that in Ephesians. You know, we who were dead in trespass and sins have been made alive through faith in Christ. The spiritually dead are those who have rejected the word of God. The second man's father is apparently an unbeliever. The kingdom of God had already been preached to him and he rejected it, so he was spiritually dead. So Jesus says, Turn your attention to the living. They need to hear the word of God. But if they reject it, Jesus would say in the gospel, shake the dust off your feet and move on. But we can't be too quick to shake the dust off our feet. Paul reminds us in Colossians 4, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you might know how to answer such people. So we shouldn't be too willing to shake the dust off our feet until we first have spoken the gospel to people. Now, this section of the gospel, I was all finished with the sermon on Friday when the Supreme Court's decision came out. And I was thinking right away, it sort of applies to these people. God wants everyone to hear and to be called to faith through his word. And this includes babies in the womb. Maybe it wasn't a coincidence, but the decision came on the day the church remembers the birthday of John the Baptist, June 24th. And John the Baptist was the very first person ever to greet Jesus Christ. And they were both still in their mother's womb. So that tells us something about the sanctity of life. Friday's decision, however, we have to remember, it was based on constitutional law, not on God's word. And it doesn't close the book on abortion. We who cherish life need to keep God's word and sacrament in the forefront of our lives and teach it to our children and loved ones. And do it as Paul says in Ephesians 4, speak the truth in love. We should never think that the sanctity of life is just some sort of an obscure concept that we can neglect and leave to the politicians and to the judges. So Friday's decision for the churches, for those of faith who cherish life, was a good thing, but it certainly doesn't end the problem. It just moves it to another realm. So we need to continue to pray and work. Now there comes another man. He's issuing orders to Jesus too. He also uses an imperative verb. We don't have imperative verbs in English. We have to make motions. We have to talk louder. You will do this. Or we have to bang our fist. But it's really apparent by how you spell it and pronounce it in the Greek language what kind of verb form it is. So he says, I'll follow you, Lord, but first you must wait for me to say goodbye to my family. Well, that may also seem reasonable. And after all, in our Old Testament, faithful Elisha was ready to follow the prophet Elijah. He just wanted to take leave of his family, and he did. So what's the problem here? Well, he really just wanted to say, I want to spend more time with my family, and I'll follow you when I get around to it. That's what the problem was. Now, why did the Lord reject these three men? It's because they were dictating their own terms to the Lord. Interested in the gospel? Sure we are. Willing to follow Jesus? Eventually. All of them started off on the very dangerous path of neglect, with the very real danger of rejecting him later. The first man really didn't want to follow Jesus to Jerusalem, because there Jesus would suffer and die for the sins of the world, and Jesus had preached that he was going to do that time after time. It was no secret or surprise why he was going to Jerusalem. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to go to the cross and the empty tomb. Jesus did not come into the world to preach fine, sugary sentiments. He came to be our Savior, and to do that, he had to suffer death as a sacrifice for our sins. He had to pay the wages of our sins by dying on the cross. And he had to open heaven to believers by his resurrection from the grave. Now, the second man wouldn't follow Jesus to the cross either. He wanted to stay with the sinful and unbelieving world. And after all, you can have a lot of fun and excitement with unbelievers, can't you? The unbelieving world has a lot of alternatives to hearing the word and receiving the sacraments, don't they? By Jesus saying, "Let the dead bury their own dead," Jesus wants you to stay away from those who will kill you spiritually. They're already spiritually dead. They want to take you with them. Well, don't let the unbelievers lead you astray and bury you with them. Remember, Christians are, according to Romans chapter 6, already buried with Christ when we're baptized. We die to sin and we rise to a new life in that sacrament. And also, remember the account in Luke's gospel of the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus says, Lazarus, the poor beggar, he died, and the angels carried his soul to Abraham's bosom in heaven. A rich man also died. You know what Jesus said there? The rich man died and was buried. See, Lazarus carried by the angels. The unbelieving rich man died and buried. So again, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Let's be concerned about the gospel of Jesus Christ. As to the man who wanted to say farewell to his household, Jesus' reply isn't harsh at all. You cannot give half-hearted attention to your Christian faith any more than a farmer can make a half-hearted attempt at plowing. That statement about plowing has an important application here. We must not be looking back on our past sins and let them bother us and consume us with feelings of shame and guilt. We've repented. We've confessed them. They're forgiven. Jesus put those sins away from us as far as the east is from the west. And it doesn't matter what sin it is. Forgiveness extends even to abortion. They can repent. They can believe the gospel and receive full and free forgiveness from Jesus Christ. We should never look back on our sins, plowing them up so that we can continue to feel guilty and feel terrible about them. If God isn't looking back at your sins that are already forgiven and put away from you, why should we? Jesus is asking us for reasonable commitments. He's given us faith to believe in him. He's given us the means to nurture our faith by being in his word and receiving the sacraments. So we should be in regular contact with them. Remember our baptism by daily repentance and contrition. Come to the altar and receive communion when it's offered. The word and the sacraments are called the means of grace. They are the delivery vehicles that God uses to deliver grace to you. Like a truck delivers goods to the store, God, through word and sacraments, delivers salvation to us. Always remember that even though some people won't give themselves to Jesus, Jesus gave himself totally to you. He didn't fish around for excuses. He went to Jerusalem because that's where the cross would be. He didn't take just an interest in you. He loves you and went the distance. And one day we'll stand before him. He's not going to plow up our past lives and uproot all the sins of our childhood, youth, or old age. Instead, he's going to look at you and see that through faith, your name is written in his book. He made a total and costly commitment to you by name, signed in his blood. So may God strengthen your faith and increase your devotion to the gospel of Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We'll now receive our offerings. And again, because it's so warm, we'll just stay seated for the service. I know we don't want you to having to get up and down all the time.